The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
My Music it is, and the competing teams, as ever, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton versus John Amis and Frank Muir. And we begin with some piano music. Ian Wallace, both Vladimir Horowitz and I have, at one time or another, played the Appassionata in public. Listen to the closing bars of this performance, and then tell me which of us is playing. Horowitz or me? Listen carefully.
Well, whichever of you it was, that was a pretty thin house, wasn't it?
Now,
you know, I'm placed in a terrible spot here. Really, this is because yeah. I mean, I'm going to insult somebody, whichever way I do it.
I'll tell you, one of us provided the piano playing, and the other provided the applause.
Ah,
that helps.
Well, in that case, if you were doing the applause, Steve, that's remarkable.
The applause
because
was very good.
Very good. Because it really was. I mean, it sounded like a man with four hands.
Cross hands, he did that applause.
And I mean, when Steve plays the piano, he sounds as if he's got four hands.
It was indeed Horowitz, and I added the applause there. Just to earn your mark, Ian, who wrote that music, please, the Appassionata?
Beethoven.
Thank you for a mark.
I once saw a piano attack the pianist in a performance of the Appassionata.
It's a very Hoffman
on a
idea.
Stage, no, it was a perfectly serious concert. It was on a stage which was curved slightly, and the wedge came out from the piano. And when he got to the development section, was playing where gradually, sort of, he had to lean back. He finally had to stop.
Well,
it was the piano trying to get back, wasn't it?
You know, I'm in a position to tell you, I know a pianist who once, I'm going to have to turn to the piano for this, who once gave a performance of the Grieg Piano Concerto, which consisted of one single chord. He sat at the piano and he played, and the piano began to move down this steeply raked stage, and it simply travelled away from him and crashed down into the audience. And all he ever played was that one chord of the Grieg Piano Concerto. Didn't get his fee either. Right, where were we? Oh, yes, Beethoven. Dennis Norton, your turn. Piano music again. What's going on here?
That's nothing much. Fair.
Lovely little man called Sammy Kahn.
Yes. He was there explaining how he...
How he and Jules Stein wrote Three Coins and the Fountain, which is a very long, elaborate story.
Never mind, yes.
But the ending was that after they'd written it and it had won the Academy Award and the film got to be the biggest, top money maker of the year, the studio who commissioned the song found out they hadn't got a contract with Sammy Kahn. So now you know that composers and lyric writers usually get umpence for these songs. They get a very tiny fraction of the takings. So they came to Sammy Kahn and said, listen, we didn't work out a contract with you. And Sammy Kahn said, well, that's your tough luck. So you've got to have a contract with us. So he said, all right, we'll take 50% of the song. And the studio were absolutely over a barrel, and they had to agree. And Sammy Kahn says, every time you hear that song, and you hear it at the end go, make it mine, make it mine. He said, 50% is mine.
Sammy Kahn. John Amis, turning to the orchestra in your case, what is this the end of?
Candidly, it's the end of the best musical, one of the best musical comedies I've ever seen in this country, and it ran for an abysmally short time, and I wish somebody would put it on again quick, because I'm sure it would go like a bomb.
Candidly, it was Candide, yes.
Leonard Bernstein.
Yes, Leonard Bernstein, that's right. Frank, here's a singer. Someone I don't think we've had more than once or twice in the whole series. Certainly not very often.
Someone else is waiting, and he owns you. If he should ever wake up, he'll show your story is made up. If you talk in your sleep, don't mention my name.
If you talk in your sleep, don't mention my name. Whose name?
Elvis.
Elvis, yes.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley, yes. Very fine. Performer, I think. Well, lots of people do. Mark, to you. The cast lists of well-known operas provide a happy hunting ground for strange characters. Let's find out about some of them. Ian, where would you find Electra, a high priest, and Neptune?
Ah. That,
Electra,
high something, priest, well, this,
Neptune.
This is an early Glyndebourne memory for
yes,
me.
Yes, it would
not
be.
Not that I took part in it, but this is, Idomeneo.
Yes, Mozart's Idomeneo. Mark, that's where you'll find it. Right. Dennis, where would you find Bardolino, Verdicchio, Barbarossa, and Barolo?
Bardolino is a Chianti. And,
yes,
and
you'd find them on the wine list at Glyndebourne. You're absolutely right.
It's called Idomeneo's Hideaway.
The names I gave you were all Italian wines of one kind or another. You get your mark. John, where would you find the King of Clubs, a Princess, and Pantaloon?
In the fruit department of the operas?
Yes, that's right.
Prokofiev, The Love of Three Oranges.
That's correct, that's where you find them. And Frank, where would you find Nick, Sid, Harry, Joe, and Happy, not to mention Jack Rabbit?
Oh, the Nuns' Chorus.
Well, or
not
the Nuns. Not the Nuns' Chorus. No, it's a happy thought.
It sounded like Albert Herring up to a point, and then it went off.
Yes, it did.
It's a bit like a...
Went a bit early. I think you know, John, don't you?
Would you like to say them again?
Yes. Nick, Sid, Harry, Joe, Happy, Jack Rabbit. All of them in, unless I mistake, the Polka Saloon or some name like that.
Ah,
but you don't know, do you?
Puccini.
Yes.
Fanciullo del West.
The Girl of the Golden West, but you didn't get it, I'm afraid, so I can't.
Well, I was warm.
Didn't get it.
Half a mark for Frank, why not? Here come those medleys again.
Oh.
Six tunes for each side, played on the piano with half a mark per title if they can identify them. Right, first medley for Ian and Dennis. Disconcerting thing for me is that Dennis only bothers to get out a very small piece of paper when these are coming up. What have you got written on your sheet? Ian, you'd know the first one, I think.
Yes, so Maiden, My Maiden.
That's right.
Federica.
Yes, thank you. Then, Dennis?
The one that we call Time After Time, I Tell Myself That I'm.
That's right. Time After Time. And then you both got the next one, I think.
No, Moon River.
Moon River, yes.
Oh, yes,
and then?
Christopher Robin is saying his prayers.
Yes, and then yours again, Ian, I think.
I have a song to sing over.
Did you get the last one, Dennis?
No, I
can't help singing.
Yes, can't help singing. 6 out of 6, 3 marks. Hold up. And I think we may do just as well with John and Frank's medley. Anyway, anyway, here it is.
Dreamer.
Here it is.
For.
Well, now, did either of you get the very first one? I don't think you did.
I wasn't tuned in by then.
No, no.
Audience, what's it called?
Oh, yes, the entire yellow ribbon.
You've got it now, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, a ribbon.
Oh, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. Oh, I'll give you that one. Then came...
Well, we both got that. Can we have 2 marks? Melody in F.
Melody in F. Melody in F. That's right. Then...
You've drawn a worm. What does that mean? I've got...
You've drawn a blank.
I've got note. Note. I have a novello.
No, actually, note. Noel Coward. Dear Little Cafe. It was...
Never heard that. Of.
Then came a sort of pom-pom bit that I thought John might have got.
What did he pom-pom-pom?
No, before then.
Oh. Well, I didn't then.
No, we were busy.
That bit.
I thought that was a joke.
Just sort of filling in.
Just for interest. Anybody in the audience know what that was? Yes, thank perfect. You. The Perfect Fool comes from The Perfect Fool by Holt.
Now he says.
Just off Holt. Right, yes.
Well, my dear, I feel a perfect host, don't you?
Yes, and then came bum 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 ba dum ba dum ba dum, which is
La Lésienne.
Yes, from La Lésienne Suite, and finally, pardon.
Was that the Ballet Egyptien?
No, it's the other one.
It's in a Persian
in
market.
In a Persian market, all right. 4 out of 6, 2 marks out of 3.
Come on.
I can tell you now, there's some lovely music coming up in this round. Ian Wallace, identify, please.
Super. Mm. And it's a sort of connection between Richard Strauss writing operas and the other Strauss is writing waltzes, because it is the waltz from Rosenkavalier, yes, by Richard Strauss.
Yes, that's right, for a mark, the LSO there, Fred in conducting. Dennis, Richard, or I'll call him Richard, Richard Strauss's father was a virtuoso player on a certain orchestral instrument. Listen to a few seconds from near the start of that orchestral suite and see if you can tell me what instrument the composer's father played.
Thought it was a captain of a tugboat.
You've got the right idea, anyway. Yeah, the right bit.
I'm just hoping for a little help from my friends.
Yes, no, I'm sorry. This is. No.
I don't know what instrument goes. Whoop, whoop,
whoop, whoop, whoop. Well, certainly, only a man who really knew the instrument would dare to write that for them. You got it, John, didn't you?
Because it occurs at a very horny place in the opera.
That's right. It is, in fact, the French horn. I can't give you a note. Strauss's father played the French horn. I suppose the most famous Strauss horn bit is this, come to think of it. And that, John Amis, comes from...
Yes, that's destroyed it for me forevermore. what is it from, please?
It's Till Eulenspiegel.
Spiegel's, Lloyd Spiegel's many pranks. But for your mark, John, yeah, listen to a really exquisite bit from Der Rosenkavalier and tell us what is happening at this point.
The idea of Rosenkavalier is that somebody presents a silver rose to the lady that is required for the marriage bed. And this has just been presented to the young lady, and she looks at it and she smells the attar of roses which have been put inside, and she has this sort of vision of the loveliness of the occasion, etc. And of course, she's very shortly going to fall in love with the young man who's actually
presented. Sophie has been given the silver rose by Octavian. Another singer in that particular version?
No.
Hilda Gusen. Lovely too.
The best one is Elizabeth Schumann, recorded in the year dot, and it's never been better.
Frank, same composer, a different composition. This is an exciting dance. Who is the dancer?
It's of the east, is it not?
Yes, somewhat.
Veil upon veil descending.
Yes, that's right. So she.
Salome.
Salome. Yes, that's right. The dance of the seven veils, and you get your mark for that. From time to time in this series, I bring out a couple of objects and ask you what their function is, what they might be used for. The first object I have today looks like a metal crown, painted white with a jaunty red rim, but it's filled, oddly enough, with soft wadding. Dennis, you first. What is it, pray? I pass it to you.
E-flat potty. No.
it does look like it, actually.
Yes, there are those who would think that, but it's a B-sharp wadding holder. Not many people know that you don't necessarily have to like music to play an instrument. And there are many professional musicians who are professional musicians simply because they couldn't make it as accountants. And they put it in their ears. Yeah. That way they only have to play it, they don't have to listen to the damn thing as well. No, I suppose Ian's got to tell you.
Well, I want a rather precise answer from you, Ian, for your mark.
It looks, I suspect, that it is probably a mute of some kind.
That's right. What for?
I imagine it's a trombone.
Yes, so which kind of, how low a trombone?
Oh, very low.
Yes, a bass trombone mute. It is,
I'm not going to hazard a guess as to how low.
You've got your mark. It is, in fact, what's called a velvet tone mute for a bass trombone. Those sort of clip things fit over the outside of the rim of the bell, and then they... play into it, and the wadding sort of deadens the tone.
I must say, I should think it's very effective, because, I mean, if I held this up...
I think it would fit me.
There you are.
I've seen those filled with boiled rice.
You are a muted Ian Wallace, you have. The next object for Frank and John is made of metal. It's, It has what appears to be a handle to which is attached a hemisphere of close mesh. I pass it. Do you mind passing it to Frank? Frank, what is it? What is it used for? Frank.
Well, it's used to protect rather small alto singers who are bald from flies. Otherwise they go, ooh, in the middle of, oh, for the wings, it's a strainer, isn't it? I mean, don't fall around, Steve. This is a domestic strainer.
Well, let us pass it to John. You've got your mark. Let's ask John what its real function is.
In certain works of the more modern school, notably one by Paul Patterson, for example, I'm not quite sure whether Harrison Burke's but there are ping pong balls called for in the score.
Bounce up and
down. There's one in a setting of Hilaire Belloc, and I'm sure to prevent the ping pong balls getting out of place, you probably put that somewhere on one of the drums or somewhere, and you keep the ping pong balls there.
That would do very nicely. You get a mark too. Frank was absolutely right. Of course, it's a perfectly straightforward kitchen strainer or sieve. You sieve flour through that into a bowl, and
you were having us on.
As I suspect,
Steve,
our audience knew actually right from the start. Oh well. For the final round each week, the order is changed, as you know. First, with a selection from his repertoire of Lieder, Dennis Norden. And Dennis...
Lost leader.
Dennis, to start you off, Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor, when they stop, in you come. Though, of course, for a slightly reduced fee.
Haven't a worry, haven't a care. Feel like a feather just floats on air. Fit as a fiddle and ready for love.
How the church bells will be ringing, and will be ringing as a march with Ma and Pa. Yes, the church bells will be ringing with a hey, nonny, nonny, and a...
Yes.
Hey, diddle, diddle.
Two marks, song, yeah. 2 marks for the song, none for the key, but
first
2 marks for the song.
First song in the first number in Singing in the Rain.
Mm. John, will you pick up, please, when the music stops?
But Peter, sitting in the tree, said, "Don't shoot, Birdie, and I have already caught the wolf."
I'm to blame because I was expecting Rafe Richardson. I thought
Rafe Richardson. Oh,
have we got any Rafe Richardson down here?
But Peter, sitting in the tree, said, "Don't shoot, you fellows. Birdie and I have already caught the wolf."
It's a great... Well, goodness knows, 2 bucks to you. Frank, Dennis had Kelly and O'Connor to start him off. For you, it's Debbie Reynolds and her fellow chorus girls.
All I do is dream of you the whole night through.
Every song, everything, every song, I ever sing. Skies are blue, skies are grey, winter, moon and night time. Every day, the whole day through.
That's what's known as flannelling your way through a song, isn't it? Ian, a spoken cue to lead you in. Katisha. No one ever yet died of a broken heart. Coco, you know not what you say. Listen.
On a tree by a river, a little tomtit sang willow, tit willow. And I said to him, "Dicky bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit willow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie?" I cried. "Or a rather tough word in your little inside?" With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, "Oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow."
And with that song from the famous American musical, Mikado, Mikado, that's all right. We end this week's My Music. A victory by half a mark for Ian Wallace and Dennis North. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.